What is up, beautiful people? Welcome back to Small Talk with Sid, the podcast with your host, Cindy Matone. And I got a question that's been on my mind, honestly, if not the last few months, the last few years, which is purpose. And I've been thinking a lot about purpose. Why am I here? What is the call in my life? And I'm sure many of you have posed the same question to yourself when looking in the mirror. And sometimes that question could be really daunting, right? But one thing from my own personal experience that I've learned in the last few years is that your greatest struggles, if you allow them, can become your greatest gifts. And I know it sounds corny and cliche, but it's true. And well, today's guest is a perfect example of how someone who seemed to be at a disadvantage was able to accomplish more in just a few short years than some do in their lifetimes. It's a great reminder that you are truly capable of anything you set your mind to. So with that said, I can't wait to introduce you to today's guest, and let me introduce you. Okay, so this week I'm chatting with an incredible human being and overall just cool girl, Liv Stone, who is a surfer, model, and disability advocate. In just a few short years, she has earned the title of 6-time gold medalist and 3-time power surf world champion. Growing up, Liv loved the water, but it wasn't until later where she felt the call to pursue surfing. After attending a faith-based retreat hosted by Bethany Hamilton for women with disabilities, Liv's passion for surfing really took off. In this episode, we get into all of the surfing details, like how she navigated the difficulties when she first started out and what the process has taught her. We also talk about the importance of changing perspective and shifting conversation and culture around disabled people. We may even get into some of her love life. Towards the end of the episode, she poses a question that really got me thinking. How would you approach someone with a disability at a grocery store? And I think that's a question we all need to ask ourselves. Now, with that said, let's sit back and meet the amazing Liv. Hey guys, I'm here with the coolest ever, Miss Liv Stone. How are we doing, Liv?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. I know this got pushed back a few weeks because you've been traveling. So how's that been going?
Yeah, I was in Costa Rica for a surfing event and then, like a little retreat thing. And then I was with my boyfriend. So lots of travel, but all really good things. And yeah, just I'm back in the States now and enjoying life. And I'm just super stoked to be here.
Yeah, amazing. So good. No, I discovered you on TikTok and like your content is just like, first of all, you are hilarious. Like so funny. I was like literally scrolling for hours. You're so funny. And like, honestly, I love the way that like you just like show up like authentically as yourself. And like, you're just like being like a girl's girl. Like you're not even trying to like necessarily be a disability advocate, but like you are doing so just by being yourself, which I think is like a super cool approach. It's like, I'm just like being me. Like, this is what I am.
Yeah, I try not to, like, some topics are serious and I talk about it in more of like down to business type way of like wanting to educate and wanting to inspire and wanting to just really get like my story out there and everyone else's story with a disability. But sometimes that can be intimidating for a lot of viewers. And so I try also to make it very like lighthearted and more of painting a picture of disability in a way that is like normal, quote, you know,
right.
And like people with disabilities are just like everyone else. They have like lives, they have boyfriends, they do a makeup routine. Like it's just, like we have lives and it's not, I try not for all my content to be like super serious.
Yeah, no, I commend you. I think there's like a really great balance between like talking about those heavy topics and like the lighthearted, more fun ones. So really great job. But with that, I not only are you super cool, but you're also like insanely talented, which I'm going to get into with all of that. I mean, your story is like so insane. But first, with every guest I have, we always go back to the beginning. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Like nowhere near the ocean, and I'm a surfer, so it gets kind of confusing, but I grew up there for like 15 or 16 years. I was always active, always played sports, and grew up with two older brothers who didn't really treat me any different. And growing up in a small town, I feel like everyone knows everyone, so a lot of people just kind of knew I had a disability, and I was just Liv for the most part. I didn't deal with too much like nitpicking and bullying, because like we grew up with each other. And then when I was 15 or 16, I moved out here to Southern California to pursue my love for surfing. And I just fell in love with the sport. I loved it so much. I did it at a couple, surf camps, and I just felt this like pull towards the ocean. And I felt like God was telling me to like pursue my passion and dreams. So it was crazy. I moved across country at 15 or 16 with my mom and parents. And so, yeah, that's where I am today. I can't believe I've lived here for 4 years now. Seems wow. So crazy. I guess I'm a really California girl now. But yeah, I grew up in a small town. Always loved sports, and now I'm here and surfing and influencing kind of came as something I never thought possible. Like, I also didn't think that you could like really make a living. Well, I didn't even know anything about it until like some of my stuff started to, I guess, go viral, and people started to be like, wow, you really inspire me and to do XYZ. And then, cause I was really just posting just for the fun of it. I feel like everyone was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was, and then I felt like I was able to really have like this voice. And that's when I started to take it more seriously, you know, seriously, but like doing it more often. And now I feel like it's a really great way for me to be creative. And yeah.
Yeah. I love that you said how like God like pulled you to the ocean, because it's really amazing, like the plans that he has for us. And so I'd love to go back to the beginning where little Liv, like, so first of all, for our listeners listening, what exactly were you born with? And can you explain it?
Yeah, perfect. I am a congenital bilateral above the elbow amputee. So that's like very specific terms, but it just means that when I was born differently. I only have two fingers on each hand, and my arm is about the length of like someone else's, like from your shoulder to your elbow. So that's about my length of arm, kind of to put it in perspective. And yeah, no one knew, like the doctors didn't know. And my mom, like no one saw it on the ultrasound. So that was kind of confusing how that was
interesting. Yeah.
It wasn't caught. And I have like other health issues too that were never caught on ultrasound. So I never really like trust them. But yeah, I came out and I had two older brothers, and they were like, oh, you know, that's fine. She's our little sister. And they never treated me any differently than someone with, like, even if I didn't have a disability, they would still pick on me. And they basically, I feel like, formed me into the woman that I am today, like standing up for myself and being a strong woman and not being like pitied. They had no pity on me. And so, yeah, when I grew up, I grew up with two strong brothers, two loving parents. And I really didn't feel like I was any different until I feel like I got older. And then I, you know, as like a woman, you start to go through puberty and you start to be like, well, I want to look like beautiful. And I started to realize like I didn't look like everyone else. And then like, you know, you start to like boys and be in friend groups. And then there's like that whole stereotype of wanting to like fit in and stuff. So I think that's when I started to realize like, oh, I mean, I always knew I was different, but I didn't really know I was that actually different. Like where some people wouldn't necessarily like want to hang out with me because of it, or like I wasn't as good as like another person in like gym class when we had to do like pull-ups because like I couldn't do it. So like there were things over like elementary, middle school, and into high school that I just started to grow into the woman that I am. And I think I really started to accept who I was with my disability when I was able to go to different amputee camps where I was able to see people that looked like I looked. And growing up in that small town, I never saw anyone that looked like me, or even just like with a disability. And so seeing kids my age that go through the same things in school as I did really taught me like, okay, I'm not like alone in this. Like I might feel alone in my own little bubble, but I'm really not. And there's a lot more people out there that understand what I'm going through than I ever realized. So I was really able to like treat my disability as an ability rather than an inability. Yeah. And start to really, yeah, grow into the person that I feel like I was meant to be.
Yeah, no, that's why it's so important to like find community, whether you're disabled or not. I think it's so important to find other like-minded people. So like you could also like share each other's experiences, and also like that's how you grow as a person. But something you said that was really interesting, it's so funny how like you started feeling different when like puberty started happening. It's amazing that like throughout your entire childhood, you never thought you were different. And like, as soon as you get to that age where like a lot of like girls and boys start comparing one another, that's right. When you start to feel different, which is like such a shame that like we can't maintain that like childlike adolescence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so when you're in high school and you're going through these emotions and you realize you are different, like how did your parents, and what was like going on in your mind? How'd you deal with it?
I don't really think, well, first of all, I don't think social media helped that much. Cause like it was when Instagram and Snapchat kind of started to go crazy, and like everyone, and then that was like big on like filters, and I just started to like look at people that were quote beautiful and like, or look in magazines. And so I was like, there was a time when I did feel pretty like helpless, because I felt like I wasn't beautiful. Like I think around like 14, 15, 13, you know, going through that, like that puberty. Right. Yeah. But I remember like sitting in the car with my mom one time, just like crying, because like I felt like I didn't have any friends. I felt like I was so different. And my mom just laughed at me out there. She could hear me. But I just remember sitting in the car with her, and she was like, look around you and like, look what all you are blessed with. Mm-hmm. And like, have a loving family. I have like a lot of cousins and my grandparents, and like I had people around me that truly loved me, and family would be there for me forever, and not necessarily like girls in middle school would be. And even though that mattered back then. But my mom just said, like, and she also started like counting the friends that I did have. Like, I do have people that care about me. I just like, my eyes were just so focused, and my heart and brain, like every part of me was so focused on being like fitting in and being like normal. And so she started to be like, you do have that good friend. And she would start naming these people. I'm like, yeah, I do have those friends. And so I just started surrounding me with people that really, I feel like, loved me for who I was and accepted me for who I was. Mm. And I feel like that really made a difference. And yeah. My mom definitely was there for me through everything. And I feel like my mom was definitely my best friend growing up. So I felt like even if I felt like I wasn't fitting in, like I could still rely on her and feel like at home.
Yeah. And I think that's a problem. What you just explained is something like every person in their own way struggles with. And you think like, oh, like so-and-so would never relate to what I'm going through. Like they have it all. But in reality, like those awkward years of like really trying to like find yourself and like, where do you fit in? I mean, we all struggle with that in some way. But I also tell people too, that anyone that feels different or feels like maybe they do stand out, like I am a huge believer that like God made you that way. And like you have, there's a reason why you are in this world the way that you are. And like, there is no one else like you. And so, and again, I know it sounds super corny and cornball, but I do believe that full-heartedly. Yeah.
I 100% believe that. And I think being like a content creator, and I don't want to just create content for people with disabilities. Like I want everyone to see my content and think, wow, how can I like be more positive in my life? How can I accept myself, whether you have a disability or not? Because I truly believe, and I've said before throughout my channels, throughout like just Instagram posts and everything, that you have a purpose. Mm. Mine probably looks a little different than someone else's. But whether that's through sport, through staying active, through food, through like any outlet, any job that makes you feel whole and you feel like you're making a difference and you feel like you're following like God's plan for you, then like pursue that unconditionally. Like I've pursued surfing and through different parts of my life. And so not only am I just encouraging people to, you know, stay positive, stay fit, stay healthy, but also encouraging them to just be themselves, because at the end of the day, like you said, no one is like you and mm-hmm. no one looks like you. And certainly no one looks like me, but everyone is different. And yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's so good. So as you begin to like come into your own and you're like finding your voice, I'm assuming a lot of this has to do with your love of surfing. So when did this interest even, I know you said you felt a call to go to the ocean, but like when did that interest come about and like how did it all start?
Yeah, so when I, growing up, ever since I was little, my mom used to always call me a mermaid. I loved the water. I loved swimming. I loved the ocean. I just loved everything about water and the ocean. And so there was like an immediate connection ever since I was little. But when Bethany Hamilton, she, I don't know if you know her, but she,
of course, yeah,
amazing woman. She holds a retreat for women with disabilities like every year, and getting them together. It's a faith-based retreat and you get to meet people, like I said, like you, and just feel like this sense of community, like we talked about. And so this was in 2016 or 17, I was still living in Pennsylvania. I went to California to go to one of her retreats, and one of the days of the retreat was surfing. And so we got to surf with her. We got to be in the water. We were in sunny California. And I just really fell in love with not only surfing, but also California and the culture and just like the laid back lifestyle. And I surfed and I absolutely loved it. It's something that I feel like that came really naturally to me, where I played soccer all my life. And, you know, like I really had to work really hard at it. And some people are just like naturally gifted at like sports or just art, or just like there's people that like you're born with just like this gift, just like singing. Like I definitely can't do that. But like I felt like surfing was that like calling and that ability for me. And I went back home to Pennsylvania, back to reality. And I kept coming to California for different surfing events, Challenge Athletes Foundation, CAF. They have different surf clinics, and that I would come out and do. Like, I think I went to one or two, and it was kind of like just this snowball effect. Like I just kept building this passion for it. And I kept like, I feel like surprising myself, like, wow, I was able to actually pop up on that wave. And it was just like, yeah, one event after the other, I just started loving it more and more. And then I got a coach on the East Coast. I started going on the East Coast for weekends and just surfing, because like I wasn't anywhere close to the water. I was 2.5 hours away. So I would go on weekends to surf with my coach, and I got my first board and everything. Yeah, just started to come together. And then I have two older brothers, so they were off at college, and it was kind of this right time for us to try and move out and to just see how it is, because I got asked to be on the Parasurf Team USA. So they needed a spot for like a woman, and they asked me to. So it was kind of like a lot of things that fell into place for me to try it and move out. So I don't know how I did it, but I convinced my parents to move out to California for a couple months, a trial run. But I mean, we're still here after 4 years. We kind of knew it was going to be a little bit more permanent. And so we moved out. I just loved it. I started surfing every single day, did what I loved. I still do what I love. I try and surf all the time, even though this weather in California is awful right now. But yeah, that's kind of how it all like worked. I just fell in love with the sport.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, since 2017, look, you are a 6-time gold medalist. You're a 3-time power surf world champion. I mean, like, that's insane. Like in the amount of years, I mean, people train lifetimes to get to like that kind of level. So, I mean, like, obviously this is what you're meant to be doing. But I just want to backtrack just a little bit. So like when you are learning, like you're getting on the board for the first time, like how what does that feel like for you? And like, were you like, wait, how do I do this? Like, was somebody walking you through it? What did that feel like?
Yeah. So the surf day with Bethany and some of the different surf days with CAF, someone's always with you in the water. So I wasn't just like handed a board and
good luck.
So no, I was taught like a lot through Bethany, as well as some different volunteers that help people like me get in the water. So I was safe. Like I felt confident in the water, and I felt like I wasn't scared at all. And yeah, I got pushed into like small whitewashes, like just like everyone starts. Mm-hmm. And I stood up on my second wave. So like the first wave, I was like, okay, trying to figure out like how to do my pop up and how to do this. And my second wave was like, I'm going to stand up. And I stood up and I like rode it all the way to the beach. And I saw that video. I actually saw it the other day. I'm like, oh my gosh, I sucked back then. Like I was like so bad, but obviously it was like my first wave.
See, your sucking would be my amazing because I've never surfed in my life. But oh, sure, for you, sure.
Yes. But no, so I like, yeah, I looked back and I was like, oh, I've come so far. But I really felt like it sounds so corny, but I felt like everything like disappeared around me, and I just felt like it was like me, the board, in the ocean. And my mom was also filming, and I could like hear her screaming in the background. But yeah, I just really felt like everything disappeared, and it was like, wow, like that is so sick. That was so much fun. And ultimately, I feel like that first time it was just a blast. It was so much fun. It was like, I feel like the most I've laughed and smiled in a really long time, and I just loved it. And then I just kept doing it more and more. And then obviously adapting to what I need, like the equipment, finding the right board for my pop-up, mm-hmm. finding like my dad and I figured out that I needed aquatic prosthetics on my hands. That's what I use to paddle. So, and figuring out, yeah, just what kind of equipment that I need. I get a wetsuit with a zipper that's easy for me now. So just, yeah, overcoming one hurdle at a time and getting there and working and putting in the hours and just really doing what I love. And that's to just be in the water. And whether those surfing contest results come or they don't, like, I'm at the end of the day doing what I love and training and even still pushing myself. Like, I'm still at a level where I'm like, oh, I have so much to learn still. And like, yeah, just working also with my boyfriend. He's a really good surfer. So he helps me get better and better. And I feel like I push myself out there in the water every day to do even better than I once did.
Yeah, this is a pure curiosity question. Yeah. So because you don't have like full arms, how exactly have you balanced your body like on the board? How does that work?
So it's taken literally 3 years to master that pop-up. Maybe I'm still working on it, obviously, but so I can't go right from laying down to my feet. I don't have enough room to like fully pop up.
Yeah.
So what I have done is I've gone to my knees and then to my feet. So it's like a two-step pop up. And that's definitely a big learning curve, because when you're taking like a drop on a wave and you're like on your knees, you're super unbalanced. So I really had to work on like doing workouts and yoga that would work on my core, because almost all my pop-up is my core, because I can't rely on my arms because they only give me half the room. And so I've been able to figure out a board that works for me, that I'm able to really balance on well, as well as, yeah, just working on, I feel like my pop-up is something that's come a long way. Like, I look way back and I'm like, wow, that was really bad. It's just really about getting the reps in and getting wave after wave and falling over and over and over. And my mom and I actually, so she films me, and I'm able to watch after the surf session at home what I can do better. So we would like zoom in on the video, look at like where my feet placement is, look at where my knees are, what's like, what am I struggling with? And really just breaking it down step by step and over those small minute changes over time and getting just tons and tons of waves and over and over and over, I was able to now pop up better and faster.
Yeah, that must make sense. Your abs also must be like insane. I can only imagine. My other thing, question is that like, if there's ever a time you got caught in a wave and it was a dangerous situation, how are you rescuing yourself out of that? How does that work?
Yeah, so I've definitely been in some gnarly circumstances, not like huge waves by any means. Like, I don't really push myself in gnarly waves, but in situations where I like my leash got one time like wrapped around my neck. It sounds a lot scarier than it was, but
no, not scary at all.
No, not scary at all, right?
No, it's fine. Just like choking it out. It's fine.
Choking. Luckily, it was like a smaller day. So I was able to, because I can't reach my neck. So I wasn't able to actually grab. And first of all, I have paddles on my hands, so I can't. So I just really have to stay calm out there, know what I'm doing, and not freak out and not get myself in situations where I'm going to hurt myself accidentally. And like, or just like be smart out there. And never, first of all, I never surf by myself. I always surf, like, if I show up to the beach and no one's out, I don't go out, because I'm like, if something happens, and I think that's for every surfer, like, don't paddle out by yourself. And I always like have someone out there that I'm like, okay, I know that if something happens, like, I know him, kind of, he's like a local, he'll help me or something. And yeah, just never surf myself. But I've never been, well, I have gotten a concussion, and that was because I couldn't reach the top of the board when I was underwater to move out of the way, so I wouldn't hit my head when I was coming up. And I've just adapted then. I know now, like, to really tuck my head and really put my paddles over my head, so in case like I do hit my board, I'll at least be better protected than I was that first time. So it's definitely a lot of like, oh crap, that happened, so let's figure out ways so that doesn't happen anymore, and how to get myself out of scary situations. And ultimately, if the conditions are too scary, just like, don't go. Like, I know my limits. And if it's too big, like, there was a day my mom and I went, like, just a couple weeks ago, and we showed up at the beach, and she's like, I don't really think you should go. But ultimately, like, she wasn't like, oh, don't go. Like, but at the end of the day, I made the decision, I'm not going to go. It's way too big out there. It's too scary. Like, and I wasn't even with anyone that I trusted. So just not putting myself in scary situations.
Yeah, I feel that's also just like really good life advice in general. Like, you figure it out as you go, you messed up. Okay, how do we improve that? So I think it's like good across the board. Now, this is kind of a basic question, but like, what's the difference between like standard surfing and power surfing? And like, how does someone qualify one versus the other?
Yeah, so able-bodied surfing is like very, very, very competitive. Like, yeah. My boyfriend used to compete. There's a lot of really, really, really good surfers, and you go through the route of like locally and then nationally, and then you compete against people around the world, and you get to the championship tour, to the CT. And so like, it's very, very professional. Where, I mean, and parasurfing is too, for sure, but it's just a smaller scale. I mean, mm-hmm. There's not the same amount of parasurfers as there are able-bodied. So we have definitely more of a smaller, tight niche community of parasurfers. But parasurfers, ultimately, there are a lot. So able-bodied surfers is just able-bodied surfers. There's no divisions. Parasurfing, there are divisions. I surf against women that have upper limb differences, some type of upper disability. There's lower disability. So there's all these different classifications in parasurfing. There's laying down. You can, that's called prone. So you can surf prone, you can surf on your knees, and you can surf. There are blind surfers. So there's a blind division.
No way. Oh, wow.
Really cool. I love watching them surf. It's absolutely incredible.
Wow.
There are prone assist, so when you're laying down and people help you into waves. So those are very like quadriplegics or people missing lots of limbs. So it's like all this kind of different, like depending on your disability, that's who you're going to surf against for the most part. And the sport is growing so much from when I first started. And there's the competition is getting more and more fierce. There's when I go to compete at world championships, there's 26 different countries. So it's expanding into this movement of parasurfing and hopefully getting into the Paralympics in 2028, because there's a lot of like misconception around, oh, like I get asked so many times, like, oh, like how was like the Paralympics? I'm like, well, I haven't been to the Paralympics because surfing is not in the Paralympics yet. So it's this process of forming this sport to get into the Paralympics. It's this very, very political thing too, like getting sports into the Paralympics. So I am competing at the highest level that I possibly can be. And a lot of people ask, would you want to go like compete against like able-bodied surfers? And I could if I wanted to. Anyone can go surf like in a local competition against other women or men or whatever. But I just, it would be like someone, like, it would be like, I'm trying to like not say anything controversial, but it would be like, I don't know, me going to try and play like basketball with like Michael Jordan, who's much taller.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole reason why there's power surfing in the first place, because there's certain advantages that maybe able-bodied people have. Not that you couldn't, but it's also a way to keep, you know, things fair. Right.
And it's not that I couldn't. I would feel pretty discouraged, because obviously there's like, it's exactly like comparing apples to oranges. I mean, we're just different. We have different abilities.
Yep.
Men and women, different abilities. Me versus someone who's on the CT, very different levels of surfing.
Yeah.
But I've also had like a lot of different things to go through rather than someone that is in the able-bodied world of surfing. I know Bethany competes against able-bodied surfers, but that's also her decision. Mm-hmm. And go for it. Like, but for me, it just doesn't really like make the most sense. And it's not because I'm like scared to like be against like, I guess, people that are like able-bodied. It's just like I'd rather it be fair.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I, so Team USA, if that wasn't the Olympics, where do you compete on Team USA?
So I'm a part of Team USA, but it's just not technically a Paralympic sport yet, but we compete at the Parasurf ISA World Championships. So it's the ISA, International Surfing Association. And so it's like, it's like along the levels of like what you'd think the Paralympics would look like. It's just smaller and only surfing. Like Paralympics is like swimming, gymnastics, like every type of Olympic sport, but for the Paralympics track. So I go and compete for ISA World Championships, which is a very, it's the highest level of parasurfing, just not Paralympic.
Got it. So what's the difference between like the title of like the gold medalist on Team USA versus like 3-time like Parasurf World Championship, like the different titles, like are those different competitions or?
So it was all the same competition. Yeah. So this can get kind of confusing. My 3-time Parasurf World Champion is when I won my division in my, in the competition that I was in. So I won first place in the Parasurf Stand One Women's. So that was like my individual gold medal. So I have 3 individual gold medals and then I have 3 team gold medals. Mm. So teams compete against each other in the world championships. Team USA has landed number one for the past couple years, but then there's some silvers in there. So 3 team and then 3 individual. And so that's like the 6 total, but then the 3 individual is that 3-time Parasurf World Champion.
Got it. That makes sense. Cool. And then I guess like just anyone that's listening that has a disability, or maybe it's just like in general afraid to like try something new, because like you tried something new, like not necessarily when you were like a little kid, it was a little bit later on in your life. So someone that's like scared, I guess, like what like was that like push that you had? Like, I'm just going to go for it. Like, I'm going to do it.
I don't really think like I had anything to lose. And I think a lot of young people have really anything to lose either. Like other than just like having like the worst thing is you'll have fun, or maybe you'll fall off the surfboard, or like you have nothing to lose. Like you're young. I'm still young, and just pushing the boundaries and following like what you love, I think is really like a fulfilling purpose in my life of following surfing. And whether that's like another sport someone loves, I think sports and like hobbies make us whole. I feel like our lives would be pretty boring if we like just like did school, work, home. Like we have something that we have to like fill our passions with and make us feel like we're a part of something bigger. And for me, that was surfing. And I wanted to be more than anything to be accepted and loved into like the surfing community and to the ocean, and to just be something that wasn't myself. I was a part of something bigger rather than putting all my energy into myself. I wanted to surf, and I feel like surfing is a way that I'm closer to God, a way that I'm a part of the ocean, just an outlet for me to also get stress and anxiety out and like depression stages. I go into the ocean and I just feel whole. And I think sports and arts can make people feel that way, and to just follow that and to really stick with your passions.
Yeah. Well said, Liv. Well said. We're going to switch gears just a little bit. So talking more about like your advocacy. So what are like some of the things when you're speaking on social media, whether it's like TikTok or YouTube, like what are some things that like surprise people when they get to like learn more about you?
I would say, that's a good question. Well, some people are like surprised that people with disabilities like are good looking. I talk with my friends about that a lot, like that are other influencers or something, or like some friends that are models or something. And I feel like society views beauty as this perfect stick figure girl that's on the cover of Vogue and everything. And I feel like that's just like what we have to go up against. And then like you think of that, and then you think of disability, and a lot of people think of disability as the outcasts, I guess. Like there's just this connotation of more of the not good looking and the not pleasing to the eyes. And like, I feel like that also has to do with when in school we were I wasn't, but a lot of people with disabilities are segregated in completely different classrooms. So we're not exposed to people with disabilities. So a lot of people just have this vision in their mind of like, oh, like, I guess someone's blind. I guess they wear like glasses. Like, I don't know. Like, no one expects like a model to be disabled. No one. So like, I think it really changes people's perspectives of whatever type of preconceived notions that they had about people with disabilities.
Yeah, no, that's so true though, because I do think a lot of people like, and also like, there's like this very, like, I feel sorry for her narrative when it's just like, that's why I love the fact that like, also even within the modeling industry, like people are showing up that are like drop dead gorgeous, that like there is more disabilities being shown, which I think is super important. Do you feel like there's been like, have you seen it from your perspective, like a change in wave when it comes to like advertising and marketing?
Oh, 100%. Kim Kardashian's Skim line, am I saying it right? They just came out with their new line, and there was a model that was in a wheelchair. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. It gave me chills when I saw it. And the model's literally absolutely gorgeous. And they had like some plus size models too. And like, I feel like the narrative is changing around what beauty standards should be, whether that's like your skin color or your abilities. And we're actually seeing people in magazines or Instagram posts or viral videos about people that look more like everyday people.
Yes.
Like, not the perfect, picture perfect, makeup obsessed, like just people that like are trying to fit into the standard. More people are like, look at that. When I'm looking, if I want to go buy a Skims like piece of clothing, I'm like, wow, that person actually looks like something I would look like in that. Or because people in wheelchairs were never seen as models ever. And so that's super cool. I'm not in a wheelchair, but that's so cool for the community of people with disabilities to see. So I really do feel like the connotation and everyone's perspective is starting to change. I don't feel like it's this rapid change. I feel like it's going to be a slow, like just step-by-step process, because at the end of the day, I feel like when we're raised thinking of a group of people a certain way, then it's hard to break those stereotypes and those boundaries and those chains of discrimination. So it's really hard to reverse all that and reverse everything that you were taught in life.
Right.
And see a group of people as something more than just their label.
Yeah.
So it will be a process. And not only I feel like does ableism come from how we see beauty, but also job opportunities in everyday life. Mm-hmm. And not just on social media, but how would you approach someone with a disability at a grocery store, at a gas station, at a normal life setting? Like, we have to start educating about it being okay to be disabled, and that people with disabilities have lives. They're, like we said, models in the business world, in marketing, in a doctor, like, you know, just normalize people with disabilities, I feel like is the biggest thing from the inside and out.
Yeah. Cause once you remove that stigma, and maybe some of that like fear just from like plain ignorance, it's just like, you when you walk down the street and you see someone, you won't be like stare or get like startled, like, oh, that's just like just a person, you know, that's it. And I think like that's where it stems from, is just like exposing it more through marketing campaigns or talking about it on TV. Or maybe there's a show where like one of the characters is disabled, but they're not like focusing on her disability. They're just like showing her life outside of that. So super important.
And I like, the narratives around campaigns or movies or anything where it's not a movie or a magazine article about the person's disability, but showing what they do in life. That's cool. You know, that's instead of, oh, at a young age, she dealt with bullying and she was in this accident and it was all like sad. And it's more of like an empowering story of living a beautiful life, even though you have a disability.
Right. It's like, I don't want to be a sob story. I just want to be me. And like, that's it. Yeah, absolutely. I know you played a little bit in the modeling world. Have you done any like brands or campaigns, or, and if not, is there somebody that you want to work with?
I have done different modeling things. I've done different runway shows with Runway of Dreams, which was super cool. I definitely, it wouldn't be like modeling for me wouldn't be like end all be all. I want to be like a model for a living.
Right.
I would definitely do it if the brand fits like what I would want to do. I did a video for Tommy Hilfiger because they came out with a new line of clothing that was easier to put on and adaptive. And I was like, that makes sense, you know? And
yeah.
So that's an honor for me to be able to do that. And an honor for the, I feel like the community of people with disabilities that a brand like Tommy Hilfiger, like such a big brand, is actually like listening and taking action. And yeah, I mean, of course, like I would want to work with, well, I just started working with O'Neill for surfing things. So I'm sure I'll definitely be, you know, like doing more modeling in that area. But I don't know. I think for me, I'm not more of like, I have to work with like this brand and this brand. It's more like if it comes naturally and I agree with like their campaign and how they're running things and it's a very organic kind of relationship, then I'm like, yeah, that would be cool. But right now I'm focused on school and surfing and making, I guess, people inspired.
Yeah, I love that. And I forgot to ask you in the beginning of this episode, but like you are going to college right now. What are you studying?
I'm getting my associate's right now in communications and liberal arts of behavioral science. So that's what I'm getting my associate's in. And I'm probably going to transfer to get my bachelor's. I'm just not quite sure where yet. So that'll be the big question. I'm not quite sure, but I will get my bachelor's in something in that world.
You're doing it all. You're doing it all. We're going to switch gears one more time. So let's talk about Liv's love life. So where? Yes. So where did you meet your boyfriend? He's in the surfing world, so I assume it's something with that. But how did that even come about? Who pursued who? What's the story?
Oh, that's the big question. Who pursued who? I think he pursued me. I would like to think that. But I think, okay, yeah. So we met at one of my Parasurf ISA World Championship events a year ago, 2021. He is from Costa Rica. And so he lives in Costa Rica, and he came with the Adaptive Costa Rica team to the event as a coach / volunteer helper.
Okay.
And so he's able-bodied, but he was there at the event helping like all these people like put on wetsuits and get in the water. And my heart just kind of melted because not every 19-year-old guy wants to volunteer and help people with disabilities. I mean, that's just not the norm. And I always said that I wanted someone that understood my world of surfing, my world of being in the disabled world and just dealing with disabilities. And so we met each other on the ocean, on a pier out at the ocean, and then we surfed together. And it was just kind of love at first sight. No, I mean,
he asked you to surf. Who? How did that come about?
Okay, so we got introduced by someone else from the Costa Rica team, and he was helping. I kind of saw him around and was like, oh, hey. And so we kind of started talking, and I feel like he was kind of shy, but I could kind of tell. And I feel like nothing would have happened if I wouldn't have at least let him know I was interested. So I'm like, okay, we can't go by all week without at least like something, you know, going on. So I was like, hey, do you want to come surf? But I didn't ask just him. I asked him and his friends. So it wasn't like a date. I was like, hey, let's all go surfing. And it turns out he was the only one that came.
No, they all wanted to come. He's probably like, none of you can come.
Yeah. And he said that he's never put on a wetsuit so fast to go out there and surf in really cold weather and water. And so we surfed, and I usually only surf for like an hour or two. We surfed for like 3 hours, but most of it was just like talking and getting to know each other. And then we really liked each other. I went to visit him in Costa Rica. And I met like his family, his culture, and just everything, and really fell in love with the lifestyle of Costa Rica and surfing, and it's warm and it's tropical and you have amazing food and weather and just amazing people too. So I just really felt like at home with him. As like a weird thing, but like he felt home to me because like moving around from Pennsylvania and California, and like, you know, it's kind of hard to be like well, where is your home, you know? But like, I feel like it is with him. And then, yeah, we've been together a year and 2 months now, and he comes and visits me and I come and visit him. He's here right now. I mean, not in this room, but he's here in the house. And yeah. We do a lot of things together and surf, and he pushes me to be a better surfer. And yeah, we just compliment each other, and he's very cute, which helps.
Yeah, no, I love that story in so many ways. Another reason why you were being called to the water. I think that, well, I guess when you started dating, like, were there no questions that he had, or was he just how did that work when it comes to dating? Like, did he date other able-bodied people before? Were you his first girlfriend? How did that work?
So I was his second girlfriend, and his first girlfriend was able-bodied. So he hadn't really ever dated someone in the disability community. And so what was really nice is there weren't any questions. And I kind of felt like I didn't really need to explain myself with a lot of things. And I remember like talking with him, and like, because I've done this before, like in other relationships, where I'm like, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about this. And I wanted to talk to him, and I was like, okay, because of my disability, when we go out in public, there will be people that stare at us. And not only because we're a biracial couple, that too, but also I have a disability, and then they'll be like, why are you like with her? And like, we'll get stares, and I want that to be like something that you're okay with. And he was like, what? I mean, like, he was kind of confused. He was like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, yeah, but like, are you sure? Like, are you sure you're okay with this?
It's like you were being more freaked out than he was.
Exactly. I felt like I had nothing to worry about. And
that's awesome.
So he was like totally fine. And I felt like he also, he grew up as like in a Christian household, and he just knew that like love is like unconditional, and that like he just didn't really see me any differently. And I felt like he really pushed me also closer to my relationship with God and just like with each other. And yeah, I mean, like, of course I can't sit here and be like, it's perfect all the time, because no relationship is. It's relationship takes work, especially long distance.
Yeah.
But we've made it work through like millions of FaceTimes and yeah, I mean, we make it work, but of course we deal with the same relationship problems as everyone else does, communication through just anything. And I would just say, like, any relationship advice I'd have is to be with someone that is your best friend, because I have so much fun with Aaron, and we just go out and we feel like we're best friends. Of course, you know, there's the romantic side of things, but I've never laughed so hard as I do with him. Mm-hmm. And to be with someone that's your best friend and you have fun with, rather than it be so serious all the time. Like, we're both very, like, just comedy-driven people, and we just like to have fun and laugh, and we're not so serious all the time. And I think that's what makes it work, especially being young. Like, enjoy life and find someone that you can really go and do whatever you want with and have fun.
Yeah, because the truth is, like, life is hard enough. And as you guys, like, you know, maybe one day get married and start your own family, like, there's going to be other, like, challenges that come there. So it's like, these are the years, like, just enjoy each other, like, get to know each other. Like, you guys really are best friends. And I love that, like you said, like, he felt like home, because I think, like, well, number one, you didn't have to explain yourself to him. I think he just, like, got it without you even saying anything. I think that's also a testament to the fact that you guys, like, share a similar faith. But also, too, like, I think just, you know, that's what people, your person should be like. You're like, listen, these are all of my cards. Like, these are all my problems. Either you accept me or you don't. And he was like, I'm sure in some ways, if I was speaking to him, he probably loves you even more because of your disability, because like, it makes you, you. And I think that's like so important to look for when you're like looking for a partner.
Right. 100%. Yeah. They need to accept you for who you are, whether you have a disability, whether you don't, because at the end of the day, everyone has their problems and their struggles and their trials that they face. And you want to go through those trials and deal with those things with someone that you can tolerate and have fun with, and who accepts you for who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. So good. So, okay, talking about the future a little bit, what are some of like your personal and professional goals coming into this year, the next few years, however you want to answer that?
Yeah, 100%. Well, I'm really hoping that parasurfing is going to be in the Paralympics in 2028. So professionally in surfing, I really hope that it's going to make it into the Paralympics in LA 2028. So hoping for that, and I will train for that and really hoping to be there, as well as just traveling as much as I can. There's some really cool surfing trips that I have that I think I'm going to follow through with. Like, I think I'm going to go and just have fun and travel. And personally for me, just working at my relationship with the people closest to me, as well as God and the ocean, and just focusing also on what makes me happy, and also working hard at school. Like I said, like in the beginning, about just wave after wave of just learning how to do my pop-up, and it takes a million reps to be able to get it right. And so that's just with me, like being a young college student and also just going through life, like as a young person, there's so much responsibilities and craziness ahead of me. Just taking it day by day. And if the Paralympics come, they come. If life and cool opportunities come, they come. And mm-hmm. right now, I'm just taking it day by day, working at school, working on school, working on content, and yeah, just enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, God's got a plan for you. I'm excited to see what's to come. And I will be screaming your name at the TV in 2028. I am like hoping for it. I'm so excited. I'm like, oh my God, I had her on my podcast. No, but so good. But thanks for being so cool and just like being authentically yourself and just like sharing all those intimate parts of your life. I know a lot of people will get a lot from it, but thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Of course.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk soon. Bye. So thank you so much for listening. As always, all of Liv's info will be in the description of this episode, so be sure to check her out and follow her on all her socials. And until next time, I will chat with you guys very, very soon. Have a good one. Bye.